As you're finding your seats, go ahead and grab your growth guide so that you can follow along. Welcome again. So I know this might be a little bit discouraging to look at this picture, but this is coming, you know. This is, of course, a tire in the snow. And I wanted to show you that. It reminds me of when we first moved into our house. Many of you have been to our house, and you know that our house is on a little bit of an incline. It is deceptively steep. It doesn't look as steep as it is. And when we first moved into our house and we got a good snowfall and I was in my car and I turned the corner off of Boyce Road onto Hethlon and tried to make it up to my driveway, which is only, you know, a couple of dozen feet away, I didn't get anywhere because my tires were not good for the snow and the incline was steep and I was just sliding all over the place and could not get anywhere. Anybody had that experience there? I was traveling with a guy who was in our church. Some of you remember Richard Dondero. He might be watching today, actually. And it was one of those snowy days, and I was, you know, it was still within the first 10 years of moving here. And we went around a corner on a snowy day, and I spun out. I just totally spun around, and he was silent the whole time. And then after we came to a stop, he said, "Not like driving in Florida, is it?" To which I had to say, "No, it is not." So there are times where we're kind of slipping and sliding and we don't get the traction that we would like. And if you've been here for a while, you get the right tires, you get a little bit of experience, you can overcome that. Hi, Dustin. but that also can happen in our lives as well. Where you want to go somewhere, you are aiming in that direction, but it's hard to get traction. You want to have a better relationship. You're doing all the things that you think you can in order to help that relationship to get better, but it just doesn't seem to be happening. You are trying to save money, and you're trying to be responsible and be good stewards of your resources, and then your car breaks down, or your house needs a new roof, or you have some other kind of unexpected expense, or something comes up, and you get this sense that every time you get a little bit of traction, the gravel just starts to fly. Have you ever experienced that? It's frustrating because you want to go, and sometimes we work so hard at it to get where we want to go, but it doesn't happen. And the same thing can happen in our spiritual lives as well. We start moving in the right direction. We have a heart to follow God. We start doing the things that we think we need to do in order for that relationship to build, and we still kind of feel like we're slipping and sliding, or the gravel starts to fly. So the question that I have is, how can we help? What do you do in a situation where it seems like you're stuck, or you're slipping, or you can't get traction? Again, welcome. I'm glad that you are here today. For those of you that are watching online or maybe listening to the podcast later, you won't have heard this yet. We would love for you to check in. The easiest way to do that is with the app. When you check in, we know that you're here and we are able to follow up with you and encourage you and pray for you. And especially if you're new, we would like to know that. Today, we're going to look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Laura Maynard is going to come up and help me read through it together. So Laura, you can come on up. And you might have noticed that I've been asking the people when they come up to tell us a little bit about who they are and how long they've been coming to Cornerstone. So she's prepared to do that today, too.
Yeah, to tell you the exact date, even.
Exact date. Wow.
So, good morning. I'm Laura Maynard. I've been coming to Cornerstone since March 26, 2017. And currently, I lead the Women's Bible Study. We'll be reading 2 Peter 1, verses 1 to 13 to you from the New International Version.
Okay, and I get started. You can stay there. I can see. Here we go. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who, through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace to you in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us, why don't you put those sheets underneath?
Okay.
And we'll just follow along and share together. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. You can take over my spot.
For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith, goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. Thank you. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we come to your word today, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us. Lord, we thank you that you have given us your word. We thank you that your Holy Spirit, who inspired your word, indwells us as followers of Jesus and gives us insight, reminds us of his teaching, gives us insight into his word. And I pray that that would be our experience today. Lord, I pray that this would be a day that people get unstuck, where frustrations that have nagged at them and nipped at their heels for a long time will finally be put to the side. And I pray, Lord, that you would have your way, your will in everything that happens today and in the days that follow. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So really the question that we're answering today is, why don't I see the changes that I'm hoping to see? It is possible to desire, to want to see positive change, to even work towards that, and to still not experience the kind of change that you are looking for. So what can we do in order to get over the hump and to get moving in the right direction? Today's message is called 100 Sundays, and I'll explain that a little bit later, but it's subtitled How to Keep from Getting Stuck and Keep Growing Up, because what we're talking about today is growth. How do we make progress on our spiritual journey? If you're taking notes, I'll go ahead and give you the bottom line for it today so you can write that in. Today, we are saying that you have to keep showing up to keep growing up. You have to keep showing up to keep growing up. And what we'll see from this passage is that everything you need is already yours. This is good news. That it is, unfortunately, this is the bad news, possible to get saved and get stuck. And in God's plan, the church is the place for progress. So I'm going to challenge you to take that next step of worshiping together weekly, to keep showing up. Now, it's possible for many of you, this is already an established habit. So that's good. And I appreciate that. What we will see is that those of us that are showing up, we have a certain responsibility and we have an opportunity of ministry in that situation as well. So let's look at it together from this passage. You have to keep showing up to keep growing up. The first thing I want you to note is that everything you need is already yours. This is tremendously good news. Did you catch this when we were reading through it? In the third verse, it says, His divine power, talking about God, has given us everything required for life and godliness. Just pause there for a second. Everything you need for life. Now, you might be thinking, okay, he's talking about eternal life. Yes, we get saved when we say yes to Jesus. Our sins are forgiven. God indwells us by his Holy Spirit. He writes a new ending to our story. When our story ends, we're going to be with him in heaven. And all of that is true. But the emphasis on this passage is what happens between saying yes and entering into eternity. That when it's talking about life here, that's the life, that's that span between when we start on our journey and when it comes to a completion and we stand before Christ and our journey is over and we enter into the joys of heaven. What happens in that in between? And what the Apostle Peter is saying, because he's focused on this, his pastoral heart wants to see this progress happen, he's saying, you have everything you need for life and godliness. What does that mean? It means everything that you need in order for you to make progress, for you to know how to manage life well, to live in God's will, and to know what he wants for you. God has provided that for you. So, that's good news. It's given us everything required for life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. So he's saying, Jesus has called us, and as you get to know him, you will understand everything that you need to know. And I want to emphasize that word knowledge. That's the third word that I have highlighted there, because it's not, when we hear knowledge, we tend to think of knowing stuff. And that's important, to know stuff. But I can tell you from experience, and you, as you think about it, you'll be able to have to affirm this as well. Knowing something is not the same as doing something. Over the last couple of years, actually within the last year, I taught two of my daughters how to drive stick. Okay, now you can know how to drive a stick, right? You know, you push the clutch, you move the, that's easy, right? But doing it is a totally different thing. And I have the pains in my back to prove it, right? So we know that that is the case. In the same way, what he's saying there is, as you follow Jesus, as you walk with Jesus, yes, your head knowledge is going to increase, but you're going to gain experience. You're going to gain skill, and you'll be able to face all that life throws at you. The picture that I wanted to give you was that of an outlet, a power outlet. Because you know that the power is there, right? I mean, everything's working as it should. You should be able to plug something in and get the power that you need. But you have to plug into it. In a former life, I used to do IT and tech support. And I used to hate trying to do that over the phone. You know why? Because the first thing that I would do when someone was having trouble with their computer is I would go to the computer and I would make sure that everything was plugged in and connected. Because so often that was the problem. There was a bad connection. Things were not plugged in. And that can be the case for us as well. How do we get the power? How do we get what we need in order to navigate life successfully? We have to be plugged in. So that's kind of the starting point, and that's where I will put in this plug, and that is to say yes to Jesus. If you are navigating through life without that power, this is your opportunity to say yes to Jesus. Just like I say virtually every week, say yes to his forgiveness so that your sins can be wiped away, so that you can be free to enter into that relationship with your Heavenly Father. Say yes to Jesus as Lord, because he is the Lord. He's the boss. He's the one who is the master of the universe, and he has the right to call the shots in our life. And that's what it means when we say yes to him, is you surrender your life to him. And that's the starting point. If you haven't done that, whether you're right here on site or you're watching online or listening at some point later, say yes today. Let us know when you check in. There's a special place to do that. If you're using a card, do a double circle on say yes or follow, and we will send this devotional that will help you get started called You Said Yes. That's the starting point. That's how you plug in. But then, that's not the end of the journey. That's just the beginning. Look at what it says in verse 5. For this very reason. Why? Because the power is there. It's waiting for you. It's supplied to you. For this very reason, make every effort. Now, if you're taking notes, this would probably be a good thing to underline, circle. Make every effort. It's not going to happen by osmosis. It's not going to happen by default. There's a give and take. There's a dance to this when you enter into that relationship. Yes, God is going to be active. He's going to be working in your life. He's going to carry through to completion that work that he has started. But we have the responsibility and opportunity to cooperate with him. So the Apostle Peter, again, from that pastoral heart, is saying, it's all there for you. So make every effort to add to your faith. And then he goes on, there's that dot, 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 where he talks about the different characters and qualities that we add, we build into our faith. Now, I'm not going to go through those one by one. I'm not going to go really deep there. I just want you to see that there is a progression, that you're not supposed to just pause. You're supposed to keep going. So with that in mind, let's look at the second part. You have to keep showing up to keep growing up. The good news is that everything you need is already there. The power is there and it's on. But it's possible. Something's happening here. It's possible. It's possible. Have you heard that it's possible? It's possible to get saved and get stuck. It's possible to get saved and get stuck. Here, I think, is one of the most tragic verses in all of the scripture. The Apostle Peter has just said, everything that you need is available. God has provided everything that you need for life and godliness. And here are the things that you can add to your faith. And if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what is he saying there? He's saying that it's possible to be saved, to be on your way to heaven, to have God's Holy Spirit dwelling within you, and for it to make almost no difference in the here and now. I mean, that doesn't even make sense to me. He changes us from the inside. We want to make progress. He gives us everything that we need. But here the Apostle Peter is saying, even in that setting, it's possible for you to be ineffective and unproductive. Ineffective and unproductive. To not bear fruit. To not see the fruit of Jesus' work in your life. Well, how does that happen, Peter? I mean, that doesn't even make sense. He explains it in the next verse. He says, whoever does not have them, in other words, if you're not building into and onto your faith, if you're not working at it, making that effort, putting in the effort, it's like you're nearsighted and blind, forgetting that you have been cleansed from your past sins. Now, when you first read over that, it's like nearsighted and blind. I mean, how does that even work? If you're blind, you don't have sight at all. If you're nearsighted, you're seeing something, you're not blind. Here's what I found out. That word nearsighted has actually two shades of meaning. It can mean nearsighted, like we think of it, but it can also mean blinkered. It's like when you're squinting and kind of blinking and closing your eyes. It's the idea, kind of like, you know, picture a horse that wears blinders, that you've got blinders on. Your eyes are closed to the truth of your situation. And so rather than recognizing that God has provided everything that you need for life and godliness, you're going through life as if that's not the case. You're not putting in the effort, and you're going around as if you're not cleansed. He uses the phrase forgetting that you've been cleansed of your past sins. What is he saying? He's saying you're forgetting about what God did in you, forgetting that God has saved you, that he has rescued you, that he has put his Holy Spirit in you, that he set you on a new course for your life. It's like you're going around blind. And how in the scriptures is somebody that doesn't know Jesus described? They're blind. They don't know where they're going. And the light is right there, but it's not making it in. That's tragic. That you could have everything you need for life and godliness and go through your life like you're still in the dark. And so he says it again in verse 10. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort. There's that exact same phrase again. Circle it, underline it. It's there again. To confirm your calling and election. Now, this is the NIV which we read. To give you a kind of a different take on it, here's the Message translation. Confirm God's invitation to you. His choice of you. Don't put it off. Do it now. In other words, if you sense God's calling, if you said yes to him, then follow after it wholehearted. If you get an invitation in the mail, do that RSVP and do it right now. Don't wait, because a life that is transformational is yours if you will take it. But you have to keep showing up to keep growing up. The good news, everything you need is yours. The bad news, it's possible to get saved and get stuck. So where does our place, what we do here, come into the equation? In this passage, I think the Apostle Peter is saying that the church is the place for progress. The church is the place for progress. Now, I know some of you have had really wonderful church experiences. Some of you have had really horrible church experiences. If you've been in church for a long time, you've had both. Almost assuredly, right? But what is, look what the Apostle Peter says here. He says, so after putting out this case, you've got everything you need for life and godliness. Don't get stuck. Make every effort. Keep adding. Keep building on what you have been given, because we don't want you to be wandering around like you're blind, like you're not even saved. So what's he see his role as in all of this? Why is he writing this letter? He says, so I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth that you now have. What is he saying? He says, well, you've been taught well. You've heard the gospel. You've received the gospel. You know the truth. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just keep reminding you of these things. Now, what does he mean by that? I think there's actually two aspects to it. One is to just simply remind the people, you have what you need. God has provided. He's there. He's pursuing you. He's equipping you. He's helping you in every possible way. You have everything that you need. So sometimes we just need to be reminded of that, right? For me to get up on Sunday morning, there's nothing new under the sun. I'm not telling you anything new. Hopefully you'll hear it in a new way, in a fresh way, in a way that will be helpful to be reminded. But sometimes we just need to be reminded. God has forgiven you. God loves you. You have everything you need for life and godliness. But I think the other thing that he's doing is not just saying, I'm reminding you of the truth. You know these things. You have these things. But I also want to remind you to keep going, to not get stagnant. You need to be encouraged. You need to be propelled. They just being reminded. These things are good. Now, start pursuing them. You need encouragement. So that's why several years ago, I was thinking about, okay, I want to be really clear about what I do. What is my role? When I get up on a Sunday morning in front of a congregation, what is it that I want to accomplish? And that was those thoughts, and what I came up with became the mission statement that we use now, which is to inspire and equip people to follow Jesus wholeheartedly. What's the goal? Jesus said he wants us to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, everything within us. That's the wholeheartedly part. But what do I do? The Apostle Peter put it like this: I remind you of these things. I remind you of the truth, and I remind you to keep moving in that direction. How would I translate? To inspire and equip. I want you to be motivated. When you hear, I have everything I need for life and godliness, I would hope that would be motivating. You don't have to be stuck. There's the answer to the problems that you are facing is out there, and God has provided it. That's motivating. That's helpful. That is inspiring to me. But also to equip. What does he say? I'm going to remind you of these things. I'm going to tell you the truth over and over again. So when I get up, I want to equip you. I want to give you things that are actually useful, not just say, yeah, rah, rah, go be following Jesus, but get to give you the tools and to help you gain the skills that you need in order to live the life that God has called you to. And so some of you might remember my little racetrack that I had up here. It was a big hit with the kids. The racetrack that is a toy that I had when I was a kid, and I bought a new one a couple of years ago, where these little Hot Wheels cars just kind of go around, and then now they're battery powered. When I was little, you used to have to crank, but now you just stick in a battery and flip a switch, and it propels the car around the track, and then it comes back and it propels the car around the track again. That's what we do on Sunday mornings. When we gather together, do you know that the church, that word church literally means the gathering, the ecclesia, the called out ones, the people who get together. And when we get together, it's kind of like when you go into that pit and you get refueled and you get new tires, and you know, they do it quick. 1 hour out of a week, that's not a lot of time, but we do everything that we can to get you successfully around the circle one more time. So I was thinking about this and trying to think about it strategically, what we do. And here, this time of the year, I've said, this is the time of the year where people get back into the habit, where people show up most regularly. So how can we do that strategically? And then I was thinking about it, and have been thinking about this from a leadership perspective for a long time. And here's what I'm thinking. When we started out at the church, you know, my hope and goal for everyone was that, you know, people would come in, we'd establish relationships, we would be like family, because that's what the Church of God is. It's the family of God. And that we would the people we start with would be the people that we would cross the finish line with. And sometimes that happens, but it's not always the case. People move, change churches, or die. You know, you're not going to be at Cornerstone forever. So thinking about it from a stewardship perspective, it's like, how can we be good stewards of the people that God brings our way and benefit and do the most good? And so I was thinking, okay, while we'd love for people to be here forever, let's assume that we have them for 2 years. For 2 years. You know, that's a pretty good assumption. If you start coming to Cornerstone regularly, probably 90%+ of those people that start coming to Cornerstone regularly, we're going to have them for at least 2 years. So my question became, what do I want them to experience? What do I want them to know? What convictions do I want to develop? What skills would I like to see developed? And so I've been thinking along those lines for a long time, but now I'm actually going to pull the trigger, and we're going to have a plan, and we're going to have a strategy for discipleship. Now, we've always had that. It just maybe hasn't been quite so clear, maybe not so clearly communicated as in the past, but I've been thinking about this a lot, and so I was like, okay, 2 years is just about 100 Sundays. You know, if you show up pretty regularly, you're going to be here 100, you know, that's probably the max that you're going to be in 2 years. That leaves an extra 4 for getting sick, taking vacation, whatever the case may be. But let's say it's 100 Sundays. What do we want to do with somebody in 100 Sundays to dramatically change their life, to make sure that they're not stuck, to make sure that they keep going, that they have the skills and develop the skills that they need? So here's what I've come up with. If you're taking notes, this is the next section. Number one, to get in an environment where you establish these habits, develop these skills, and build these convictions. So there are certain habits, skills, and convictions that I hope that will happen in your life as you participate in the life of the church here at Cornerstone. But it starts with an environment. From early days, I've always thought of that church as a greenhouse. I experienced that when I went off to college and I was for the first time surrounded by people my own age who were really serious about following the Lord. We were studying the Bible. I was majoring in biblical studies and minoring in biblical languages. We played together. We went to church together. We ate together, everything. And that was like a greenhouse to me. And when I got out of college, I kept trying to recreate that because it was such a good experience. And, you know, friends that we had as we were getting married and having kids, we got apartments close to one another. We were just trying to recreate that because it was such a special time. And then as I was thinking about my philosophy of ministry, like, that's what the church is supposed to be like, that environment that, excuse me, if you get in that environment, it's just like a greenhouse for spiritual growth. So that's what we want to create. But what are these habits, these skills, these convictions, and how does that work? Well, here's how it works. You start by going into an environment, and then that develops certain habits. We want to establish those habits. And then those habits lead you to have certain skills. You know, you can learn how to drive a stick, but then you have to practice, and then you'll have the skill. And then in a spiritual conversation, you're going to have certain convictions, and those convictions will lead you back to that environment. Now, what happens if you're like, I've been here 20 years. You know, we've been doing this for quite some time. Or what happens? I get the 100 Sundays. Then what? Do you notice that little arrow? What you're doing is, if you have those convictions, you're going to want to create that environment, and you're going to welcome people and bring people in. Now, as you go around this circle, you go around the track, your skills are going to deepen. Your knowledge is going to increase. Your relationships are going to grow. So it's not like the 2 years is or 100 Sundays is some kind of end point, but that's kind of like the baseline. We want to cover those things. So what I'm doing is I'm strategically thinking about 2 years and what I'm preaching about and what environments we create so that we will be more strategic, more intentional, better at creating those environments that develop those habits that lead to the kind of skills that you need for life and godliness, and to have the convictions that will set you on a course for the rest of your life. So I gave you some examples, and I'm sure that I'll wordsmith this and develop it further. But if you look at your growth guide, you know our objectives: to know God, to grow together, and to go make a difference. So let's just look at one, knowing God. There are two next steps that you've heard me talk about many times before, and that is to worship together weekly and to say yes to Jesus on a daily basis. Now, I may change that because say yes requires a little bit of explanation. I'm sure I will be talking about saying yes over and over again, but the one word that I think I might put in there is to follow. When you say yes to Jesus for the first time, what are you saying? I'm going to be a follower of Jesus. When you get up every morning, you as a follower of Jesus are going to be following Jesus, right? So that's a little bit clearer. That makes a little bit more sense. But how does this work? Well, what's the environment for worship? It's our weekend worship services. What is worship? It's the acknowledgement of God in every aspect of our life. So the habit that I want you to develop is to worship together weekly. to make this kind of a no-brainer default that you're worshiping together. And if you're not here, for some reason you can't be here, you're watching online, you just are listening to the podcast later, it's just that's your habit. And what do we hope to do in that? What's the skill that you're going to develop? I want you to have a biblical worldview. Many of you have heard that phrase before, but what does that mean? What it means is that you're going to be seeing everything from God's perspective. That's what I do is we look together at the scriptures and we try to see things from God's perspective. He has revealed his perspective to us. He has revealed his truth to us. So what do we do with that? We want to study it. We want to see things, because when you encounter life, you see things through God's perspective. That's going to be a good thing. And what's the conviction that I want you to develop? That following Jesus makes life better, makes you better at life, and brings glory to God. Why do I do what I do? When I was called to it, yes, but what was the motivating factor? It's like I had the privilege of growing up in a good Bible-teaching church where in my household, it was the default. It's Sunday morning, we're going to church. And I learned so much, and I recognized how beneficial that is. And I experienced the benefit of it, and I wanted everybody else to experience the benefit of that. And so I wanted to share that. I wanted to be a part of that. And that's what drives, that's the passion behind what I do here. And what happens, it's like, oh, well, that's very you-centered. That's very people-centered. Well, no, God revealed all of that to us because he's for human flourishing. He loves us. He wants what's best for us. And when we follow him, what's that last phrase? Brings glory to God. God is most glorified when we are following after him, and he is displaying his life in and through us. So that's what I want to see. I'm going to have a strategic approach to. So we're going to cover all of those different aspects of that. Then the next phrases are an example of the following. The environment is, I want you to have a time one-on-one, you with the Lord, that you spend with him every day. I want that to be your habit. I want that to be a no-brainer. You get up, you spend time. No breakfast, no Bible, no breakfast. You know, you get some kind of trigger that you know, no coffee, no breakfast, no Bible, something. You know what I'm saying? You get the idea. We got to establish that. And then when you do that, you're like seeing things through his perspective, because we talk about that on Sunday. And then you're like, oh, when I do those things, I'm going to see things from his perspective, and then you're conviction becomes, you know, this is the best possible way to live. I want everybody to experience that. So why don't we see the changes that we're hoping to see? Sometimes it's because we stall out. We don't show up. We're not in the right environment. We're not establishing those habits. And then it just kind of goes down there, hill from there. So you have to keep showing up to keep growing up. Good news, everything you need is already yours. Bad news, it's possible to get saved and get stuck. But the church can be your place for making progress. So let's keep showing up. Now, last thing. I was thinking about, and I've seen this in different churches and certainly in different other aspects. It's like, what's one thing that we could do to kind of keep track of this, to encourage it, and to have a little fun with it? And so maybe you've seen, you know, if you go on the Bible app, for example, when you do certain things, you complete a devotional or something like that, you get a little badge. So I was saying, well, could we do something like that at church? And if you don't care about that, that's great. Go ahead and do your thing. But it's kind of fun, and it'll give you an idea of the progress that you are making. So I came up with badges. And if you go in the app, you'll see that there's a link to badges. And I want to see how fast we can get how many people to 100 Sundays. And when you do, you will get the 100 badge. That's what that is. That's a picture of the badge. That will show up in your profile when you look at your profile on the Cornerstone app. Now, that might seem like a long way away. Good news is, You've got one. You've got one under your belt. You have earned the one badge. So you are on your way. Now, in all seriousness, let me give you a next step. And that's 7 Sundays in a quarter. 7 Sundays in 13 weeks. That has been the kind of behind the scenes official way that I move people from just in our community to in our congregation. Usually if people show up 7 out of 13 Sundays, they're going to be regular attenders at Cornerstone. So make that your next goal, to get at 7 Sundays under your belt as quickly as you can. Here's why. Because I know that if you keep showing up, you will keep growing. And you're going to develop, we're going to encourage you and equip you to develop those habits so that you can tap in to those good things that God has provided for you, everything you need for life and godliness, and that you will not be among those that are stuck in immaturity, even though they've been sitting around and in church in and out for all of their lives. You will not be unproductive. You will not be unfruitful. You will not be ineffective. But you have to make the effort. So let's pour ourselves into it. Let's lean into this and let's bring other people along. Keep showing up, keep bringing, keep growing. That's it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for encouraging us by equipping us and telling us we have everything that we need for life and godliness. All those places where we're stuck slipping and backsliding, it doesn't have to be this way. So Lord, I pray that we would lean into your truth, lean into developing those habits and convictions and creating those environments that are going to lead people to wholehearted devotion to you. And I thank you, Lord, for your grace and kindness to us, giving us everything that we need. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.